We just got back from marching with thousands of people in DC, and now we're debriefing. Join us. We are Created Equal, and we're inviting you to debrief with us. Hey, y'all, I'm Lexi.
Hey, everyone, it's Seth again, and today's discussion is going to be truly powerful because we're debriefing one woman's story of being forced to have an abortion.
Yes, and today we have on with us Marina. Marina, she works in our admin department. I'm so sorry, Marina. What's your position?
What do you do here at Created Equal?
I don't know her title.
I'm the administrative assistant.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense. So yeah, Marina's been with us for a year and a half now?
Yeah.
Yeah, a year and a half now. Sorry. Wow, that's really bad, Marina. I'm sorry. That was a very lame.
Like many of our staff members, Marina began as an intern, which was when, Marina?
2020.
And on a justice ride before then.
Okay, well, there you go. There's Marina's history. Sorry, everybody, that took so long.
Marina's also, for those listening, we are coming to you from Columbus, Ohio, which Lex and I are both transplants here. It's kind of Buckeye madness here, but Buckeyes do not like Marina's state. She's from the state up there. That is to say, what state, Marina?
Michigan.
There it is.
Wow.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay, sorry. So we actually have a very interesting podcast today, y'all. So we were at the March for Life this weekend, this Friday. And Marina interviewed somebody who was marching in the march. And so we have that whole thing on video, and we're going to play some of that a little later on. But Marina, kind of sum up what it was like at the march. What were we doing at the march?
So we were representing the victims at the march with our large Jumbotron. And I was interviewing people that were walking by to get just to have them answer some questions about their thoughts on our Jumbotron. And Jennifer was one of the people that I got to interview.
So people are marching by. And for those who have not been there in D.C., you have hundreds of thousands of people marching by on the streets. And we have the Jumbotron thereby, as you said, Marina, representing the baby. So they are physically present in a way. They're not really present, but they're seen visually by video and pictures on our Jumbotron screen. And you're just kind of pulling people out of the crowd? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, pretty much. It was very intimidating because there's so many people walking by, and they weren't all super nice to us, so it was a little stressful trying to, like, pick out the people that I thought would want to talk to me. But, yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, and this person, Jennifer, so Jennifer is obviously the lady that you're talking to. Her story was definitely something very inspiring, but also tragic. So I think we should kind of get into it a little bit before we play the clip, but kind of set it up. What were the questions that you're asking her for her to like tell you this?
So I actually had done the interview already, and the interview was over. Okay. And I had asked her how she knew Mark Harrington, and she told me that she had spent 20 plus years now sidewalk counseling outside of abortion clinics and just being a voice for the preborn. And it was because she had been forced into having an abortion when she was 16 years old by her mom.
Wow.
She had found out she was pregnant, and her mom set up this appointment at the abortion clinic, and Jennifer thought that it was just her first checkup for her pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And when she got there, it was definitely not that. And
wow.
She got pinned down on the table by the abortionist.
Ugh. Oh my gosh.
Well, that is very heavy, and I know, like, especially at the March for Life, there's a lot going on. It's so chaotic, and then to hear something like that is just very, it's very sobering, and it really makes you, like, especially when you're having the Jumbotron with abortion victim images behind you, and then you have that story to go along with it, and just seeing how violent and how gruesome abortion truly is in every aspect. But, Seth, do you think it's all right if we play the
clip? Yeah, I want to hear her tell her story.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome that you did that. When I was a kid, I was held down by an abortionist and given an abortion against my will. I got pregnant by a teacher of mine in high school that I had a relationship with for many years. He's in his 70s now. He just went through Rachel's Vineyard last year.
Really?
And he's from Ohio.
Oh, really?
So I've been fighting this fight for a long time, but my mother set it up with the abortionist, and I didn't know. I thought I was going for an exam, my first exam.
Yeah.
I was only 16.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So, but because that happened to me,
yeah,
I've been on the sidewalk ever since.
Yeah.
Wow, I mean, okay, you already kind of told us what happened, and I was able to hear most of the audio, but I know it's loud there in D.C., so again, Marina, just kind of like hit the high points. What was she sharing with you in that clip?
Yeah, she was just sharing, I was not expecting that, obviously. Like, I'm not used to people just telling me stuff like that outright. But she just told me, like, that happened. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. And then she goes on to talk about how she's continued to do stuff to defend the preborn. And just her sidewalk counseling stories were so crazy.
Okay, so she's, before we get there, though, she's 16 years old. No, she's 16 years old. And she goes for what she thinks is a prenatal checkup. She knows she's pregnant, has a baby inside of her, goes for a checkup, but she said he held her down.
Yeah.
What's going through your mind as you hear her telling this story?
I was absolutely horrified. Like, I can't imagine going to a doctor's appointment, any doctor's appointment, and being forced into anything, but going through something that personal and that violent where her body was so invaded by that doctor. Like, I can't imagine being pinned down like that. Like, that was just truly horrifying.
Doesn't seem very pro-choice, does it?
No. And she...
I mean, I don't mean that to jest, really. Like, this is the ideal that you choose something. She chose, did not choose this.
No, not in any way. And if anything, it was the abortionist who we don't know what, if we're going to play into the whole gender thing of, like, who was he, a male trying to harm this person's body, harm her body and everything like that. It's just nobody was given a choice, or she wasn't given a choice. The preborn child wasn't given a choice. The people who are impacted the most, I don't know if the teacher who was the father of this child, what he was wanting in this situation, but I did hear that. So Rachel's Vineyard, for anybody who doesn't know, that is an abortion recovery ministry that helps people heal from their abortion. So I don't know what his stance was on it, but it seems like there was only choices coming, or only the choices are made by the people who were more powerful in that instance.
That's exactly, I think that's so important. And we talk about that a lot, right? On the streets, that it's the mom or the father, or the powerful one, choosing over the baby's life. But as you said, Lexi, here, who had the power in this situation? The grandma, Jennifer's mom, the grandma, the baby, and the abortionist. They were the powerful ones, influentially her mother, and also the physically powerful one, the abortionist, holding her down. It's always that same story, the powerful preying on the weak. That's an excellent point, Lexi. And also in the show notes, we'll include that to Rachel's Vineyard, as you said, and also Deeper Still, another organization that helps people after abortion, whether they're forced or not forced, who are going through this trauma.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of touched on this, Marina, but after this happened to her, after this terrible tragedy happened to her, she was then moved to action to defend the defenseless. So can you kind of share with everybody, what did she do after that?
Yeah, so after that, she ended up getting married and has like 12 children now.
Wow.
But she did something really cool. I've never heard of this before, but she would go into abortion clinics with her newborn child and ask for a pregnancy test from this clinic. And then while she was sitting there waiting, she would pass around her newborn to all of the moms in the waiting room. Like,
the mom's waiting for an abortion.
Yes. The mom's waiting for abortions in these clinics. She said she went to like at least 100 of them. She would pass around her newborn child to all of these moms.
Wow.
Holy cow.
And she said that at least 2 women left each of those clinics after she did that.
Wow.
That's crazy.
And I think that's so powerful, because I always think about that. Like, if the women sitting in there, like, they're trying so hard not to think about their preborn child like that, not to try to like humanize them and think about somebody that they could be holding and taking care of. So if you literally place a child in their hands, a precious little baby that's not much older than the one that's in their womb, like, how big of a difference that can make in somebody's mind and making them want to do something like that. That's awesome.
That is so cool. Yeah, as you said, and also just the grit of Jennifer to go from being forced to have an abortion to then, I'm just going to walk in that abortion facility with my baby and pass it around everyone. I just can't imagine what goes through her mind to motivate her to do that. Even, you know, we talk to women who it's hard to even drive by an abortion facility after something happened, after they chose abortion themselves. Here, Jennifer was forced into it and then walked in and saved babies. That's a very powerful picture of tragedy turning to beauty and to rescue.
Yeah, it really shows how strong Jennifer is, because that would be very hard to go back to a place that you felt so terrible, have such a terrible memory tied to it, and now you're going and doing that. But she loves the people enough. She loves those moms enough. And she loves the preborn children enough to go and do something like that and go sidewalk counsel for 20 years. So that's really awesome.
And camp, I just pausing on what you said, Lexi, too, about just these people, these women who are sitting inside abortion facilities trying to do oftentimes anything they can to forget the humanity of their baby. The power of holding a babe in your hands is just really striking. We again see the importance of visuals, of understanding mm-hmm. the humanity of the baby. And so what Marina, what Jennifer told you is, I think, just about powerful story I've never heard before.
Yeah, I've never talked to anybody. Marina, have you ever had a conversation with somebody who was in this type of circumstance?
Nope. That was the first person that I've ever met like that. And it was honestly really, it was a really powerful story even to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I've heard so many people's stories just doing outreach, but Jennifer's story definitely was the most powerful, and it was very encouraging that day too. Mm-hmm.
And we oftentimes talk about the victims of abortion, and we know that the primary victim of abortion is the preborn child. But Seth, can you kind of go into this for us and helping us think through this? Now we hear the story of this woman who is victimized by abortion. How do we kind of look at that and also understand that the preborn child's a victim there as well?
Yeah, that's a really important point. I think that there can be no question in Jennifer's story, this is an example of a woman who did not choose abortion. So she was forced into something. When you're forced into something, whether it be assault of some kind or this situation, she was forced to have an abortion. There's no question she's a victim, right? I think we can all recognize Jennifer was victimized by her mother and also by the abortionist. And that's, again, the whole point of why abortion is so tragic is you're victimized by your mother and father. Jennifer, same thing. Her mother forced her into this traumatic situation. But I think that just to help kind of have a proper framework, I like what Jay Watts, president of Merely Human Ministries, says. And that is that when you talk about abortion, you have to keep a couple of things clear. Why abortion's wrong is not the same as what's wrong with abortion. We know around this table that abortion is wrong because it intentionally kills innocent humans. That's why abortion's wrong. But what's wrong with abortion is all this pain it leaves throughout our nation. We have people who are missing siblings, parents who have trauma after abortion, people like Jennifer who are traumatized by abortion. The victimization of Jennifer was wrong because someone usurped her autonomy, her bodily autonomy, right? But that's not why abortion's wrong. Abortion still is wrong because it's intentionally killing innocent babies. So we just have to keep those categories clear, I think. There are a lot of things that are wrong with abortion, financial problems, traumatic things, but that's not why abortion is wrong. Two different categories there.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I think that is definitely helpful, especially when you're talking to somebody about abortion. I know that it can be easy to fall into maybe just focusing on the victimhood of the women who have abortions and the pain that they have to face after that, or the men who have abortions, or obviously they themselves are not having abortions, but you know what I mean. And so we can focus on the people that we can see, but it's harder than to focus on the people that we can't see, the preborn people who actually are losing their lives to this.
I think that's exactly right. And so the danger, I think, may be, you know, we, again, all recognize Jennifer was victimized. I mean, you talked to Marina, you heard her story. We all recognize that. But if we just say categorically that all women are victims, we fall into a couple of pitfalls, I suppose. And one may be that it sounds, I think, quite patronizing to some women who say, I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I'm choosing to have an abortion. That is not the same as Jennifer being forced into it. And we don't want to generalize all these experiences. But some women are truly secondary victims of abortion. Clearly, Jennifer's one of them.
Yeah. And so I think that's like what we have to always keep in mind, especially when we're out talking to people about abortion and we're hearing women's stories. Because I know that whenever we're out on college campuses or in downtown areas, a lot of women share with us their story of abortion. Like I said, I've never talked to somebody who had a story like Jennifer's, but a lot of women are open about the decisions that they made. Either they're saying it to me out of like pride of what they've done, or they're saying it to me who are grieving what they had done. But all in all, we have to remember that not everybody's situation is the same. And both Jennifer, we need to show love and compassion towards her, just like we would share love and compassion towards the woman who was like the woman you were talking about, who's like, oh, you know, I know what I'm doing. I'm going in to kill my baby, even though that woman is, it's harder to be compassionate towards her whenever she knows exactly what she's doing and choosing to do that.
That's exactly right. They all need love and compassion, even though sometimes it's harder. And I think this whole idea of primary victims, secondary victims is not not new to us. We've talked on this podcast before about women who are sexually assaulted. and they get pregnant. Now, the mother, in that case, is the primary victim of the assault, but the baby's a secondary victim, right? Because her life is now affected by her dad's decision to rape her mother, and it's changed her life. So we get that there can be primary victims of something, the preborn baby in abortion or the mother in sexual assault, and also secondary victims, those affected by it generally in other ways. Mm-hmm. So, Marina, as you were talking to Jennifer, you know, one thing I loved about what you did was you, kind of your first response to her was just saying, I'm sorry. And yeah. I think that's... Can you explain to us why you did that? And this is not just a mere tactic, but why did you find that important in conversation with her to express that emotion with her?
Yeah, I mean, with Jennifer and any other woman that shares that kind of story with me, I always start with saying, with sympathizing with them, because I want them to know that their story matters and what they went through. I'm not going to just brush past that. Like, I want them to know that I truly care about them as a person. So even if a woman told me with pride in her voice that she got an abortion, I would still say, I'm sorry that you went through that, because I know that I want to connect with that person on a more emotional level, because I want them to know that I don't just care about their child, I also care about them as a person.
I think that's an important point. And if I can just draw a second from what you said, Marina, I think, you know, we're talking about Jennifer's story, contrast it with someone who knows the baby, wants to kill her baby. We've all seen those stories. We saw people in D.C. taking pills on the street trying to say, they were saying they're having an abortion on the site. I don't know if they were really doing that. That was not the March for Life at a different event recently. But so when someone tells you they had an abortion, it is not up to you to decide, well, are you a victim of the abortion or did you choose it? It's not up to us, right? Your response is the same. Can you explain again why it's important to not on the job judge that mother as choosing or not choosing, why you can just express your grief for her regardless?
Because I want to portray to her that there was a loss involved, whether she acknowledges it or not. That child is now dead. Like, that child was killed in that scenario. So I want her to know that I'm going to acknowledge the fact that your child was lost, whether or not she knows it or whether or not that was her choice. I want to acknowledge the life of that child. And I also want, like I said, to connect with that woman, because maybe nobody's ever said that to her. Maybe people in her circles just say, wow, you did a really good thing, like, great job. Or other people, maybe they skip past that sympathy part and they go straight to, well, you're a horrible person. And I don't think either of those situations are the correct response.
That's right. And I think that whether the mom gleefully chose abortion or was forced into it, these are kind of two polar opposites. Most women may be somewhere else, I don't know, in the middle. That's up to us to know. But regardless, our response is one of compassion and love. The tragedy is done. The baby has been killed. As you said, a loss has happened. We want to recognize that and also portray love for her, because no matter what her level of involvement was in the abortion, we have been compelled by our God to love her, right? Mm-hmm. We can love babies and mothers. There's no conflict there.
And I think that that really helps people understand, like, I know I've talked to people and I've said, I'm so sorry for your loss, who've had abortions. And they were initially coming up to me kind of telling me that they had an abortion as like a way to get at me, like a way to like make a dig at me or whatever. And they have to pause and think about it. And so I think, like you said, Marina, a lot of people come at those having abortions in one of two ways. Either they go on the extreme of celebrating their abortion, they'll go buy them a cake that says like Happy Abortion Day, or they'll go on the other side and just either cut that person out of their life or do whatever, just say hateful things to them about it. But going about it with the truth, obviously none of us here are going to lie to a woman and say that what they did was okay. If they chose to have an abortion, we're not going to lie to them and say that that wasn't a precious child's life that was lost, but we will say that we are sorry for their loss and that we wish that never happened.
Exactly. And so anyone who's listening to this, I know we already said in the show notes, we'll have the links to Rachel's Vineyard Deeper Still, but also reach out to us. Our team has Jennifer's story is unique. Perhaps we have talked to all of us in this room, countless men and women who've had abortions, and we would love to chat with you, connect with you if you want to talk to us and share your story, or just help us. We can help you find more resources that will help you with your healing. And so kind of turning a corner, I guess, toward the end of this, Marina, as you look back on this story with Jennifer and what happened, I think what's so inspiring about her story is that it led her to take action for others, for other preborn children like hers that was killed, and for other women who need to, I guess, be inspired to realize that it's a lie, that you can't be a mother and be whatever, that you can do this, you're strong enough. So mm-hmm. what's kind of sitting with you, Marina, as you reflect upon Jennifer? What's kind of the main takeaway that you're just inspired by, or that you want to tell other people about her story that should is worthy of following her example?
I think the fact that that was something that she went through and she's still willing to, I mean, she's a big supporter of the victim imagery. She thinks that it works and that more people need to see it. But the fact that she's so strong in her convictions and she spent so many years sidewalk counseling and still does, and she spent time in jail doing that. And I mean, I'm coming into the pro-life movement, like working here, not having experienced anything like that. And the fact that she can have so much, I don't even know what the word is for it, like so much grit, like you had said mm-hmm. earlier, like just being able to continuously do this day in and day out, I think is inspiring when she it's bound to have be back in the back of her head, like this is what she went through, but the fact that she still keeps going and defending more babies and trying to help more women not be in that same situation.
Yeah, and I think that it's a very good lesson that she's teaching us all, a very good lesson that whenever bad things happen to us, we have the choice, even though she didn't have a choice to have the abortion, even though she didn't have the choice for that to happen to her, she then had the choice after that what she was going to do about it. And instead of doing something like shutting down or trying to preserve herself, she actually has put her life on the line for others. And so we need to remember to do that whenever adversity comes our way, to actually use that to propel us forward to helping more people.
That's an important point. So she was clearly a victim, but she did not let herself remain a victim of her circumstances. She mm-hmm. rose above. She saved other lives. That's a powerful story and very inspiring to me, hopefully to all of our listeners too. So those of you who are listening, if you want to see other, there were many other people we did meet there. Marina, others were doing interviews. Watch our YouTube channel, Create Equal Films, for those interviews. We'll be releasing them over time throughout the year, but watch for those videos to check out other people we've met. There are a lot of stories to tell. In the meantime, wrapping up this story, hopefully you're inspired to go do more. And one very small thing you can do, this is not doing more, a very small thing, is just jump online, leave us a 5-star review, please, on Apple Podcasts. Spotify even now is a place you can leave 5-star reviews. So please do that. Helps us get these stories in front of more people. So please subscribe, leave us a review. You can also find us on our social media or just go to createdequal.org. Everything is on there. But thank you for joining us. We'll be here again next week. We are Created Equal, and this has been The Debrief.